We are back on In Focus News Radio KMAN talking Aggieville history today with Cheryl Collins, Dan Walter joining us here, the Aggieville historian. And really fascinating to learn about kind of the transition of this district here over the last century and not quite century and a half here, about 130 plus years. We're going to talk about the 1950s. What a kind of a robust time for the district. It didn't start out that way, of course, though, because there was the great flood that happened in 1951. How did that impact the district, Dan?
Well, other than individuals whose homes were affected, the Aggieville district was dry, high and dry. So they became the center of commerce for several months. The First National Bank and the Union National Bank both set up remote stations in Aggieville, one in Varney's bookstore and one in the co-op bookstore. The cleaners went 24-hour shifts trying to help people get that mud out of their fabric. The grocery stores did a booming business because there were grocery stores downtown. They got flooded out in 51. And so it became the center of commerce really for a while. Now, amazingly, downtown bounced back very quickly, a heroic effort to bounce back. But Aggieville stood pretty strong. And then through the 50s, Aggieville was just a hopping place. I mean, you could get anything in Aggieville. You could buy a car or a boat or
jewelry stores.
Oh, yeah.
Student population.
The Tribune was published, newspaper was published in Aggieville, donut shops, ice cream, of course, eye doctors, dentists, real estate folks, chiropractors, of course, beauty shops, barber shops, all the staple things. But it was really a full service shopping center in the 1950s.
Well, that's hard to believe, I guess, maybe from our perspective here, because it's such a small area. I mean, it's three, four blocks there. How do they squeeze all that into there?
Upstairs, downstairs, basements.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, usually there's been 100, 120 businesses there and get a lot of diversity, and they're all small shops. And you have a lot of mom-and-pop shops and cafes and people that were, they owned the business, they started the business, they owned the business, and they ran the business. And so it's good. It's a good time.
Was it a regional draw then? Not only Manhattan folks, but people come from around the area to go there?
Well, I haven't really talked to many people about that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think my sense is it was more a local, still served students to great extent. But also the local community, there was a lot of interaction. But I don't know that it was a tourist draw as it has become in more recent years.
Okay.
And there was none of this negative, don't take your kids to Aggieville. I mean, it was a family-friendly environment. So, you know, Aggie Hardware always comes up that Ira Haynes said, they don't have it at Aggie Hardware, they don't make it. You know, it was just, they just had these nooks. That was a packed store. It was nooks and crannies. And if you needed any size screw, you went in there and he'd dig around and he'd find it. They were great.
Nice. So when did the transition start to happen where we started seeing bars popping into the district?
Well, the change in liquor laws in Kansas, locally and nationally, played a big influence in all of that because, Manhattan was always a prohibition town and continued to be a prohibition town well after national law changed and even state law to some extent. So that really influenced things, I think. But I know there were pubs or taverns in Aggieville in the late 40s, the Shamrock that became Kites, and then, of course, Aggie Lou in the early 50s. And so you always had a little presence in Aggieville.
Okay.
Probably.
And then change when 18-year-olds could drink beer. That changed the face of things.
You know, almost as dramatic a change was fast food. Bernie Butler started the Pizza Hut in 1960. There were a couple little pizza places before then, but basically the fast food chains kind of forced all the mom and pop cafes out of business. And that was a pretty dramatic change culturally in the 60s, but it had a big effect on Aggieville. So,
yes, I think that's correct. That you saw the type of businesses change over time just because of national trends that also affect local business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think you see that with internet affecting local businesses and changing the face of Aggieville through those trends that just are occurring nationally.
Right.
Well, one of the key things that I think kept Aggieville sustainable is having those small, locally owned businesses here. You have a few, chains in there with, Buffalo Wild Wings, Chipotle, places like that. But a lot of those staples are still there. Varsity Donuts, you mentioned Dusty Bookshelf, and they've been there a long time.
There's a lot of little niche shops in Aggieville that make it a fun place to go to.
You know, the American dream of owning your own business has been realized many, many times in Aggieville over the years. And you find out it's a lot of hard work. You know, if you're the sole owner and you're trying to get your products supplied and work with staff and get sales and pay the mortgage, and it's a lot of hard work. So there's almost always a turnover on the small businesses in Aggieville. I tracked one 10-year period and half of the businesses in Aggieville turned over. They didn't just go out of business, but people, and maybe they were doing okay, but they just realized they didn't want to give their life to a business. Mm-hmm. And that can happen pretty easily in Aggieville. But then again, they got to do their dream. They got to have their own business. And some of them have stuck. And some of them have figured out how to make it work with expanding management staff. But you have to have enough sales to be able to support that. So it's a tricky business there sometimes.
You know, I'd be curious to see what's the longest tenured running business down there. I would imagine maybe the barbershop is among the top ones there. Maybe.
The number one undisputed champion is Olson's Shoes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And of course, they're one of the longest running businesses in all of Manhattan. I believe their family got their start in the 1870s. So that's a long, long time ago.
No kidding.
And one of the brothers set up a store in Aggieville in 1913. So, they've been there a long time.
That's some staying power right there.
You got to wear shoes, you know?
Yeah, that's a good business model for sure. Well, there's been a lot of things that have impacted Aggieville over the years since the 1950s. You know, I see here in the notes, you got something here on the Triangle Park cutoff. That interests me here. How did that come about? Was it not always a part of Aggieville?
No. Anderson came down to Manhattan Avenue and went over half a block and went up Bluemont. And in the early days, it was okay. It was a poor planning, just poor planning, you know.
Well, it goes back to that Manhattan not getting that corner in the plat of the city that where the campus is now. They had to buy off that corner of City Park to get title to square that off. So all of that not coming into the city in the original plat, then caused all this disruption to the roads. And you're right, it was very inconvenient to go down Bluemont and then have to go a half a block over to get on Anderson.
Yeah, so about 1964, the city came up with a plan that they were going to extend Anderson down farther, get my directions here right. Farther east, and cut off a fourth of the block of Aggieville, and then connect. And so some of the businesses that they were going to destroy, about six or seven businesses. One of the businesses was Mac McFadden's barbershop. So President McCain, the president of the university, was he had his haircut there. So Mac McFadden lobbied him and said, hey, we really would like you to not, we'd rather have you cut off a corner of the campus, which there was nothing there, and rather than cut off our businesses. And so President McCain said, well, I'll tell you what, right now in Aggieville, there's no barbershops that will service African-Americans. Nobody's will cut their hair. And he said, if you will commit to cut their hair, then I'll try to work on getting it cut off, that cutoff done. They did. He did. And so the corner of the campus got cut off, and Aggieville, the Triangle Park got created, and the businesses stayed intact all the way to the corner. And so that was the story on that.
Wow. That's a neat story.
It is a very interesting story. And it's interesting to see how all those things get put together based on happenstance. I mean, if he'd not been McCain's barber, what would have happened?
Yeah. Interesting. Wow. What a good story. Little piece of Manhattan history right here on News Radio KMAN this morning. Let's take our final time out here. We'll get back. We'll talk some more about Aggieville and some books here that Dan has available if you want to learn more about it. We'll talk about that next here on News Radio KMAN. In Focus continues after this.